9:45 on your Monday morning. Masters week is underway. Adam Stanley joins us on the phone line, courtesy our good friends at South Street Burger. Sir, it was minus 17 one morning this long weekend in Calgary, and I went and dug snow caves into the snowdrifts in our backyard. How's Masters week going for you so far?
Yeah, it's going pretty good, man. It's, it's always a very exciting week. And, you know, despite the fact that it sounds like it's pretty chilly in Calgary and the snow is still there, at least there should be some solace that spring is indeed on the way with it being Masters week. So we won't have to suffer all that much longer.
I'll say this. No one's going to be losing out on playing any golf if they're inside watching it in Calgary this year. That is the one benefit. You have good reason to stay in your home.
That's it. Exactly. So in years past, you certainly were like, oh, should I go play? Maybe miss the afternoon on Friday or something. But now this year, no, it's setting up in front of the TV, making yourself a homemade pimento cheese sandwich or something like that, and enjoying the golf, because it's set to be an all-timer, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I've been saying that for a while here, and I don't have the big book of history on golf. I've kind of in the last 3-4 years really become much more of a golf fan than I was. And I guess reporting on it, you know, throughout the season as a sports guy has gotten me sort of into more of the storylines. But I just wonder, how could any other Masters in recent history or moving forward have the storylines to compete with this? You got Tiger Woods, this incredible, improbable comeback after many failed attempts. And we were all sure he was done, or most of us were at least. Some of us about to lose a lot of money when he wins again. You also have Phil Mickelson winning at 47 earlier this year. You've got Rory McIlroy, his first win in a couple of years. Dustin Johnson got hurt last year. He's got redemption on his mind. Sergio's defending his first ever major, not to mention, you know, these young players that have taken over the sport, Thomas and Rahm, amongst others. I mean, this is just an incredible, a plethora of storylines. I haven't even got to Jordan Spieth. That's how many good storylines there are.
Exactly. And I think, I mean, you lead with Tiger, and rightfully so. I mean, yes, he struggled and he hasn't played this event in a couple of years, but you think back to 2010 when he returned after the personal scandal, hadn't played any golf, hadn't really done anything, comes out and he finishes fourth that year. It was unbelievable. I think this is a golf course that just fits his game. He can play it in his sleep practically. He's had obviously a tremendous record here, 4 green jackets. He admitted he had to go back and play there a little bit more than he usually would because he hasn't played the golf course since 2013. But here he is playing well, playing steady golf, inspired by this generation that is pushing him forward, inspired to want to play good golf for his kids as well, who have only ever seen him play good golf on YouTube, that sort of thing. So Tiger's back, and it's going to be a really exciting week to have him in the field. But then all those names that you listed, you could go down the list of every PGA Tour winner so far this season and almost have a good reason for why they could contend or even win the Masters. And there's so many other guys like Jordan Spieth, who hasn't won yet this year, but has won at Augusta and certainly knows how to play that golf course as well. So, a lot of storylines. There's probably 30 guys, maybe more, who has a legitimate chance at winning this week. And I think that's why the Masters is as it is, and it always delivers.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's usually a ratings bonanza. Never mind if Tiger wants to be competitive, it'll be a monster. He has missed 4 of the last 5. What about some of the other big names? I mean, it's Dustin Johnson's excellent, but he hasn't been, setting the world on fire necessarily. Spieth the same. Where do they rank for you? Are they favorites to win the tournament? If you ask critics, not just Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, because Dustin Johnson obviously got off to a really, really good start this year, winning the first event in January. He was number one in the world at this point last year. But then, of course, he fell down the stairs the night before the tournament and didn't end up playing. This year, again, he's back being number one in the world. But you've got Justin Thomas, who's nipping at his heels, who's won already on the tour this year and this season as well. And, it's hard to remember that, Justin Thomas has only played I think this is going to be his third Masters, and he's only 24, 25 years old. So, you know, it's a young guy who hasn't really had the Augusta National experience. But, I mean, he's best friends with Jordan Spieth, who has arguably played this golf course better than anyone over the last couple of years. I mean, he's a guy who, you know, yes, he let the Masters go in 2016, but he had a five-shot lead going into the back nine that year. He was on track to win his second green jacket. So although Spieth hasn't won, I think he's definitely a guy to look out for. Dustin Johnson just has the game. He's got the mindset. He's got sort of that lackadaisical look and feel about him that if something goes haywire at Augusta National, which it could happen quite quickly, he wouldn't be bothered by it. Justin Thomas is arguably playing the best golf of anyone in the world. And then you've got Bubba Watson, who won, you know, not that long ago, who's already won twice this season. He's got two green jackets, and he's playing much, much better golf this year than he did last year. So he's another name I think is going to be one to look out for come Sunday afternoon.
What have we got for the Canadian contingent? Mike Weir gets the lifetime exemption because, of course, he won. He actually made a cut for the first time in 3 or 4 years in the Dominican, I believe, an event you were covering last week. What else can you tell us? Hadwin back, I imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mike Weir, I mean, it's the 15th anniversary of Mike Weir's Masters win this year. I've got a big story about that, kind of an oral history for PGAtour.com coming out tomorrow. So a lot of really, really neat comments from all the guys who are on the PGA Tour now and kind of where they were when Mike won. So so look for that. And yeah, Adam Hadwin's arriving today. Him and Mike are going to play a practice round together tomorrow, Adam Hadwin told me. And they're also going to play in the par three competition together as well on Wednesday. So Hadwin's got three top tens already this season. He says he's playing better golf this year than he was a year ago, despite the fact that he had the victory last year, but without, you know, sort of the personal distractions. Of course, last year he got married right after the win. Him and his wife closed on their first home 2 days after the wedding. Then he had to zip up and play his first Masters. Without any of that distracting him this year, he says he's a lot more confident and is really looking forward to getting back to Augusta National and a golf course that he likes. And he's just playing a lot better golf. He was 120th or something with greens in regulation a year ago. He's down to 31st this year. So he recognized that he was struggling with his irons, and he worked really, really hard on that. So, yeah, just the two guys, Mike Weir and Adam Hadwin. But Hadwin seems to be picking the brain of a former champion and doing it very well. And it's going to be fun for the fans who are there to see Hadwin and Weir play together and play together at the par three contest as well.
There's also that first time thing, right? You're not supposed to be good at this course until you've at least got a lap or two under your belt. I don't know if that's just myth or if that's fact, but it was John Rahm's first Masters as well last year, was it not?
It was, yeah. And then John Rahm, I mean, he is so good. And, you know, he's climbing up the official world rankings. He's won again this year. And, you know, a fellow Spaniard, Sergio Garcia, won last year. And, you know, there's the ghost of Seve Ballesteros around that golf course. Jose Maria Olazabal has won there twice as well. So there's something about Spanish golfers and Augusta National. And, you know, the golf course has so many intricacies and so many tricks, especially around the greens, that to your point, you know, a first timer isn't supposed to do all that well there because there is just so much to learn, and you can keep practicing and hitting the ball to all these ideal spots on the green. But Adam Hadwin told me the other day that it's more likely that you're going to be hitting it somewhere else, regardless of how much you practice. So John Rahm, big time name for this year, I would say, now that he's got one Masters under his belt and a bunch of victories as well on the PGA Tour. But, you know, just that one extra year of learning is so, so key, especially around Augusta National.
We all are going to get into a Masters pool of some sort. We're going to be in fantasy. We'll have a one and done we got to pick. What do you look for on this course? Because it's an immensely adventurous set of greens, and yet guys that have won there haven't necessarily been the best putters on tour. Sergio was closer to 200 than 100 in his putting rankings last year. Bubba's never been an excellent putter. The 2 years he won, he wasn't in the top 100. Adam Scott in 13 was not in the top 100 in putting. I mean, you're going to have to get hot, I suppose, but you don't need to be a prolific putter to win here. Is that fair?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to make the putts, obviously, but this is more of a second shot golf course. You need to put yourself in good position from the fairway towards the right parts of the green, because if you're not on the right part of the green, then you're pretty much dead. So look for guys who are prolific in strokes gained approaches. So guys who are really, really good with their iron play. So you're looking at, you know, even from a long shot perspective, we were talking about Spaniards, Rafa Caballero, he's 120 to one or something like that, but he's second on tour in strokes gained approaching. And he's got some really good results over the last little while. So you look down the list of on that statistical category, and you may find some interesting names for this week. So definitely with Augusta being a second shot golf course, look there versus maybe someone who's a little bit more prolific on the greens.
All right, who do you got? Who do you like? You can tell us about, you know, the dark horses, the value picks and all that, but also favorites do win this tournament as well. So maybe give us a little nice sampling and selection of Adam Stanley wisdom here.
I think Daniel Berger is probably my dark horse. I think he's up at the 100 to 1 kind of range as well. He's only played the Masters twice, but has a tie for 10th and a tie for 27th. And he's also in the top 25 in that strokes gained approach category that I mentioned. So Daniel Berger, a very nice dark horse for me. I think this is, if I have to pick one name to actually win, I think this is the year that Rory McIlroy wins the Grand Slam, gets that monkey off his back, and finally conquers Augusta National. It's a golf course that's he's had some struggles with in the past. So out of the favorites, I think Rory is my guy. But come Sunday afternoon, as long as Rory, Jordan, Dustin, Jason Day, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bubba Watson, those guys are going to be in the mix, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But Rory, for sure, I think he's my dude this week, and Daniel Berger, from a long shot perspective, I think he's worth putting a little bit down on as well.
I love it. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the week. It's something special. And you know what? If you have any extra shovels, we've scraped off the bottom 2 inches of ours here in Calgary. Send them our way.
Sounds good. Will do. Thanks, man.